Do you remember your baptism? Some of you may remember your baptism. There are some that are baptized as adults, and in the Methodist Church, we do baptize adults. We also baptize infants. And so some of you may not remember your baptism. Throughout the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about our baptism. We're going to be talking about the baptism of Jesus. We're going to be talking about how, why our baptism matters. What does it tell us about who we are as God's people? So for some of us, remembering our baptism is a challenge. We may not remember because we were little infants. And honestly, because I'm a second child, we don't have any pictures. This is a big debate in my family because Mark does not have any pictures either. I think we even have a video of Sean's baptism. Sorry, Mark. Maybe you have a picture. So maybe you have an image of in your mind of what it was. Now, we have a confirmation class right now, and when our confirmation class will make their confession of faith on Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to ask them to remember their baptism and be thankful. Now, when I say that, they don't need to remember the white outfit that their mother dressed them in that day. They don't need to remember how they wailed when the pastor put the cold water on their foreheads, or dipped them in the water, depending on where they came from. What I'm asking them to do is to remember the faith that they were raised in, to remember the Sunday school teachers that encouraged them on their journey. I'm asking them to remember the many people that had brought them to this place where they are now ready to make their own confession of faith. I'm asking them to be thankful for all the ways that God's grace has been poured into and through their lives. To remember your baptism is to give thanks for God's continued grace in your life. So throughout the next coming couple weeks, we're going to be talking about the power of God's grace and what the sacrament of baptism means in our journey of faith. Today we're going to begin with John's account of the birth of Jesus and also the baptism of Jesus. John reminds us that we are a part of this story. Just like John is called to testify to the light, to reveal the presence of God in our midst, so too are we invited to testify and witness to the light. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and then 29 through 34. And since it is the gospel of our Lord, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for its reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.
And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God, the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Hey, Matilda, look at this. I got a new flashlight for Christmas. And boy, does it ever shine brightly. You'll have to see it later on in the dark. Right now, it doesn't work so well in the light. But I can see a long way with this. Look, I can see that rock in that path that I would have stumbled over if I didn't have this light. And you know, it's not heavy. I thought it would be. I mean, if it gives this much light, it should be heavy, but it's great. And I can carry it with me everywhere, and I can use it in the darkest nights or places. I never thought I would have a light like this. You see, I've been using old flashlights that grow dim very quickly, hoping that I would find just the right one that would really work for me. And now, here it is. Wow!
Well, that's a great light, that's for sure, but it doesn't show everything. You can see what's directly in your path, but you can't see everywhere. Suppose there's something just outside of the beam of your light. What are you gonna do? You could be in trouble or you could get hurt. That light is not a guarantee of safety.
Well, in a way, you are right. I can't see everything. But you see, I can move this light from side to side and up and down and in circles and in squares. And I won't always be able to see everything, but I will be able to trust that I can see where I shine my light. And isn't it that way in life? We don't always know what's coming. We can shine our light in many ways, and we will get some surprises. But the light will give us direction and guidance. Light is like that. And in a way, God is like that. God spoke light out of darkness. But God did not erase the darkness. Following God doesn't mean that we see everything clearly. It means stepping out even when the path isn't completely clear.
That's true. We have choices as to how to respond to that light. Getting up and following takes faith.
Yes, it does. And it may lead us to places where God's light is most needed. And as we follow, we may need to shine light for others.
Wow, that is one powerful light.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Matilda. You never know when the lay leader is going to be called on the night before. He came as a witness to testify to the light. That is how John the Baptist was described in today's gospel passage. What does it mean to testify to the light? Well, John the Baptist did this by calling others to repent, by asking them to change the way that they were living and to live justly. If you listen to Luke's gospel describe John's message, today we heard John's account, not John the Baptist, John the Beloved, his account of the baptism. But in Luke's account, this is what John says. John's getting frustrated. He's out baptizing, and people are showing up, and they're not really showing up because they really want to change their living. They're showing up because the crowds are there, and they figure, well, this might look good for me. I'll show up. And John knows it, and he calls them a brood of vipers.
who are more interested in their own status than any real change in their lives. And he says this. The crowds asked him, well, then what do you want us to do? What should we do? And in reply, he says to them, whoever has two coats will share one with whoever has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. And even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said, teacher, what should we do? And he said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. And the soldiers asked also, and he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. Baptism for John was a call to just living. It was a call to live justly with your brother and sister. Testifying to the light meant shining a light on the darkness and calling people to walk in that light, calling tax collectors to live honestly and fairly, calling soldiers to live peaceably with one another, calling the crowds to share with those in need. This is what it meant to be baptized for John. So is there darkness in our world today? You bet there is. All you need to do is turn on the news, walk down George Street, read the negative posts that litter our Facebook and Twitter. There is darkness in our world. And it's still a part of our world, but we have a choice. We can give in to the anger and the depravity and the grumbling and the violence of the world, or we can testify to the light. Every day we are given that choice. And if anyone in here says, oh, you know what, Pastor, today I didn't have that. You know, nothing really happened. No, every day we have something that confronts us, and we have to decide whether we are going to choose darkness or whether we are going to testify to the light. Tomorrow we will remember and celebrate the man who said darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Each day, you and I are given the choice to testify to the light. So what are the ways that we can testify to the light? What are the ways that we are already testifying to the light? In our earlier service, we talked about what are the ways that we're shining God's light, and people lifted up the men's shelter, and people lifted up Elijah's promise in our community, and times of fellowship together as we get to know each other more deeply. And what were some of the other ones? I know I'm drawing a blank.
Our children
are the light that they bring. Now, who does not get joy out of watching the children as they learn and grow? We can donate food for cold, donate food or clothes. I know people have been donating coats and hats and gloves, and they are going like crazy because people are in need today. Matilda and I were talking. She said she has two coats. I said, well, you got to give one away. But yeah, so we donate coats. Probably we have whole wardrobes filled with coats that we don't need. Or maybe it's going on a mission trip or writing letters to your representative to talk about injustices that we see in our community, in our world. Or maybe it's just not engaging in negativity. It's so easy to get swept up in the negativity of those around us. Or maybe it's responding with compassion rather than reacting with anger and violence. There were times this week where, I'm going to be honest, I was angry.
And my first instinct was to react. But we have a choice. We can respond with love instead of hate. We can be light in the world instead of adding to the darkness that's already there. And maybe it's just choosing joy, smiling at someone that we usually don't smile at, singing a song, laughing as often as we can, giving thanks to God, praying for one another and for our world, affirming each other, saying, you know what? What you did right there was beautiful. Thank you for that gift. How often do we affirm one another? Listening. Yesterday, I was blessed to be able to share in the memorial service of David Lutchendorf. And he was a listener. David knew how to sit. I know his hearing wasn't so good, but he knew how to be a presence, how to listen and be present. What a wonderful way to shine light, to sit and be present with another person in need. You see, it's really easy to get caught up in lamenting the darkness of our world. And I'm going to tell you again, when God spoke light, he did not erase darkness. He did not erase the darkness, but the light was not overcome by the darkness. So we can get caught up in lamenting the darkness. We see these things that are happening in the world. We hear painful words spoken by our leaders, and we wonder if anything can really change. We may feel powerless to really make a change in the world, and yet, and I'm going to ask if somebody, because we're going to watch something right now, so we're going to open up the screen here. There are people that are shining God's light in the world. There are these beautiful opportunities where we see God's light being cast out in places that we just thought were too dark. And in some ways, I'm thankful for the times where we've had to really face the injustices because they've been spoken out loud, finally. And so we have no other choice but to make a change and to say, enough is enough. So there are those that are willing to step out and shine light. And I wanted to share a video with you. This is a video that was on CBS this week. Reverend Gil Caldwell and his wife, Grace Caldwell. I know that he's preached here before. He's a United Methodist pastor who was connected with Martin Luther King and was a very much a part of the movement, the social movement, and he is still shines a light in so many ways. But this video is about him, but it's really not about his light. It's about the light of some young people who were inspired and challenged by his story. So are we ready to go? I've been vamping.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "The time is always right to do what is right." Tonight, Steve Hartman is on the road with school kids who decided the time was right to right a wrong.
At the Mount Airy Resort in the Poconos of Pennsylvania, Reverend Gilbert Caldwell and his wife Grace are arriving for their second honeymoon.
We're here.
They were greeted warmly.
Oh, how are you?
A sharp contrast to their first visit 60 years earlier. In 1957, they were married in North Carolina, then drove 8 hours, only to be turned back for being black.
How did they put it? Did they give you a reason?
First, they pretended I didn't have a reservation, where I actually brought a copy. And then, of course, they said, but if we said yes, our guests would be very unhappy.
They had to stay at a black-owned hunting lodge instead.
Man with these big guns.
Not what you were planning on for your honeymoon?
Not what we were planning on.
Prodded partly by that experience, Gil immersed himself in the civil rights movement, working side by side with Martin Luther King Jr. Today, he speaks about the movement, which is how he ended up at Bear Tavern Elementary in Titusville, New Jersey last year. He told the honeymoon story, as he'd done 100 times before. But for whatever reason, this group of fifth graders really took it to heart.
At the end of the story, I was like, that's just terrible.
It was really heartbreaking.
Just because it's just so wrong.
I feel like this is the worst thing that someone could do to someone.
Even months after the Caldwell's visit, kids like Emily Eshelman are still this affected.
You feel bad for them? That they have to go through that?
A ton.
A ton.
Which is why each fifth grader wrote a letter to Mount Airy. One said, "The Caldwells made me think about not only standing up for myself, but standing up for others and fixing mistakes that were made in the world." In closing, the kids requested an all-expense-paid honeymoon redo, which they got.
It makes me feel really good inside because we know that even though we're just kids, we made an impact on the world.
It was really magnificent to know that kids cared that much.
Oh, the rug feels so nice.
I should mention that the original Mount Airy was torn down years ago.
A beautiful place.
This is a new building with new owners who are just so impressed with the kids, they wanted to help make it right.
Man, was this worth waiting 60 years for?
Obviously. This does not make up for decades of racial injustice. But it's a step and a sign that we can get there. Steve Hartman, on the road, in the Poconos.
A testament testifying to the light that still shines. And it doesn't have to shine in giant ways. They wrote some letters because they wanted to write a wrong. We are called in our baptism to testify to the light. So where will you testify this week? Where will you shine God's light?
Who needs to hear this message of light? Who is walking through a time of darkness? And more than anything, they need to hear the hope, the grace that has been poured into you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you are the light of the world. And yet too often, Lord, we choose darkness. We allow the darkness of our world to dull the light. We stop looking for ways to be your presence. We stop remembering our baptism, remembering all those that have poured your grace into our lives. And so, Lord, in this day, tomorrow, as we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and throughout this week, help us, Lord, that we might be bearers of light, that we might shine, so that all know that darkness cannot extinguish your light. Amen.